morning to all the listeners of the broadcast. I have something special for you today, so I hope you'll stay tuned for the next few moments. In fact, it is about something very special which God has for every one of his people. That is the second definite work of grace wrought in the heart of every believer by the Holy Spirit. The work of sanctification is so very often misunderstood, misinterpreted, feared by some, and rejected by others. But it is the will of God and is taught in the Scripture. It is an absolute necessity for victory in the Christian life by every believer. Our authority for this statement is the Word of the Lord. So let us look into the Scripture. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we find these words. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Another in 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you will, hold these verses in mind for just a moment while I give you this poem. Present experience. Some say that in heaven a sinner there shall never, no, never be found, but that in this lowland of sorrow to the lust of the flesh we're bound. But those who have come to the Savior have washed in the all-cleansing tide, are now singing of perfect salvation as they stand all redeemed by his side. They think that the Spirit of promise, which to the disciples was given to fit and prepare them for service, has long since gone back up to heaven. But we find that the promise included the saints that are living today, for he strengthens and comforts and guides us and says he'll be with us always. They say that away in a new world in a city with streets of pure gold, that after our life's race is ended, we shall drink of its pleasures untold. But the spiritual city of Zion, we enter through Jesus today, and the saints in its glory are walking. Their sins have been all washed away. They tell us that over in glory, all the Christians shall there be made one. But here amid so much confusion, that surely can never be done. But the glory that Jesus has given, from Babylon bondage sets free, and the sanctified saints now are dwelling in a perfect and sweet unity. May I point out that the disciples were saved men whom Jesus had called forth from the world. They were not in their sins, yet there remained in them the seed of sin, which we call inherited sin. There is cleansing for this in sanctification. Jesus, when praying for his followers, said, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." Again he prayed, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." From this prayer, we see Jesus knew there was a cleansing for his disciples, which was accomplished on the day of Pentecost with the giving of the Holy Ghost. This cleansing agent burned out the last traces of the Adamic nature. The Spirit purged and cleansed their hearts by faith. Why should anyone draw back or refuse to go on to this experience? I believe I can answer this by giving three reasons. 1, discouragement. 2, friends and enemies. 3, the inward foe. The escape of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage is a type of the sinner's escape from the bondage of sin. And the wilderness life, from the passage through the Red Sea to the crossing the River Jordan, is a type of the life of those who have obtained the pardon of their sins until they reach the experience of entire sanctification. While in the wilderness, they were fed with manna from heaven and always got along well as long as they obeyed God. But when they disobeyed and wandered away, they were chastised. And sometimes, when they murmured against Moses or against the dealings of the Lord with them, They were even visited with severe chastisement before they were willing to do what was right. There was a number of them who kept murmuring and complaining, and the Lord let them die in the wilderness, while the others were willing to, obey, passed over into Canaan. This was a symbol of sanctification or heart purity. To be free from the bondage of sin, a person has access to God through His Word as never before. While yet a sinner, it is so difficult to believe or have faith so as to get any benefit from the Word, but then the blessings of heaven began to come down as manna, and the soul is fed daily. All the wants and desires can be made known unto Him who is able to give, and we can come in such sweet assurance and confidence that He hears our humble petitions. Yet a person will not advance very far in this divine life until the deeper experience of sanctification is reached. In other words, God wants this person to cross the Jordan River into the Canaan land. Although there may be many happy seasons and wonderful outpourings of the Spirit of the Lord, yet sooner or later one should realize and seek earnestly for this deeper work of grace. Now, the reason for not attaining this experience was discouragement. This is one of the strongest pitfalls the devil has for entrapped souls. It matters not to what stage of life one has attained. If the enemy can discourage him, a great step is taken toward the capture of the poor wandering one. Let one become discouraged, and he allows his shield of faith to fall, and then the enemy will begin trying on some line or in some way to put a web of his power around this unfortunate one, until things appear to go wrong and the way begins to grow dark. If the enemy can get one to believe that he or she is no longer a child of God, it becomes more difficult for them to have faith for their needs. Satan tells them the Lord will not hear their prayer any longer. But remember, God is still on the throne, and His power over all the, and He has this power over all the power of the enemy. I would encourage that one to go on unto perfection. Get a deeper experience. God is able and willing to break every chain the enemy puts around you. Reason number two, friends and enemies are often a hindrance. We would not usually think of a friend being a hindrance, but this is sometimes the case. The way of the cross may well be termed a way of warfare, because there are friends and enemies all along the way. To the one who thoroughly decided to go through at all costs, with a heart fixed and the mind stayed upon Christ, it is a line of victories, even though the enemy may occasionally take his stand by the wayside and give a fierce battle. But victory always crowns a faithful walk with the Lord. However, there must always be a positive decision to go through for God and follow as He may lead and direct. It is those who lose their decision for going through or drop the shield of faith who are talked about by the enemy and his suggestions. At this change of life, we make a change in life and we change masters. We also make a change of friends. Often those who were the most devoted and true friends now become the most bitter enemies. Even those of our own household may be among our worst foes. But Jesus says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Matthew 10:38. Persecution seems to go hand in hand with the promised blessings of the Lord. But He will give abundance of grace that we may be able to bear them and even rejoice through them all. The third hindrance to this second definite work of grace, known as sanctification, is the inward foe, or the Adamic nature. This was passed along to all mankind through the disobedience in the garden. Sin passed upon all. This is also known as the carnal mind, spoken of in Romans 8:7, and is enmity against God. Although it's not imputed as sin unto us, yet it is a sinful nature, or such as naturally inclines the heart or leads one into the ways of sin as soon as they become old enough to know what sin is and realize its effects. The little child knows no sin and is innocent in the sight of God, yet it has that carnal mind which is manifested long before it knows anything about sin. Anger is often manifested in children's lives, and grown folks too, for that matter. Yet there is no sin committed by the child who is not yet of the age of accountability. But after the age of accountability, the child becomes a sinner. Then it takes heart purity, or the two works of grace, pardon and sanctification, to bring us back into this state of heart purity with the Lord. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Our Father, bless the message to the good of every listener and reader. We know the enemy doesn't like the doctrine of holiness and heart purity, but this is the teaching of thy word. So let thy spirit work upon every heart, and thine shall be the praise in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, dear one, for a few moments of your time. Now, many of the ones who listen to the broadcast, we've had the pleasure of meeting. Yet, I'm sure there are many out there that we've never met. And I have a suggestion which might help us to overcome this matter. I'd like to meet more of you. And I have a suggestion, if those who live within range could do this, each first and third Sunday, the first and third Sunday of each month, we are normally in the little city of Anthony, Kansas. Some of you live within range of the broadcast and in range of Anthony, Kansas. And I would suggest that you come over to Anthony, Kansas and be with us in services there in the little Church of God chapel. This is located on the corner of Pennsylvania and Garfield Street there in the northwest part of Anthony. We'd just be delighted to have you come over to the chapel and be in services with us there about 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And this is each month now on the first and third Sundays. Not every Sunday that we're there, but on the first and third Sundays. Sometimes weather makes it very difficult for us to make this schedule, and sometimes we don't get there when the weather is bad. But normally, look for us on the first and third Sunday in the Church of God Chapel on the corner of Garfield and Pennsylvania Street in Anthony, Kansas. Come and be with us, will you? Now, thank you for your time. God bless and keep you always. Pray for us, and we also pray for you. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.